This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Race Your Game. Frida Liu here, and Dr. Peter Shepherd from Brain Dynamics Global is here again in our Personality Matters series. Today, we're going to discuss leadership and entrepreneurship, and always a hot topic, or often controversial, and that's whether leaders are made or born. And I think this discussion has been going on for ages. What are your views on this?
Thanks, Frida. Good morning. Good to be back, perhaps in the hot seat on this hot topic. I'll be fairly diplomatic that actually it's both. But then the question is, is it more one or more the other? And then, it comes back to begging the question, what actually is leadership?
Right.
And what is entrepreneurship? And are they similar or are they different and so on? So I think when we're talking about leadership, and there's also the style factor, and the style factor is probably more in the personality type, whereas the skill factor, something that is learned and acquired over a period of time. So, when we talk about leaders, we have academic leaders, scientific leaders, military leaders, religious leaders, political leaders, and they all are slightly different in that sense. So I think it's also a question of when I say born and made, the born part will be certain genetic factors, personality traits that might be required, but they could differ from the different types. So if, for example, a scientific leader would be, or academic, would need intellectual type traits, whereas maybe another type of leader in the commercial world, the entrepreneur who has to be innovative and creative, would have a different set of traits.
Mm.
And so what I came across a lovely book the other day called The Leadership Gene. And I thought, wow, I'm interested in genes. This must be great.
All our answers are in that book.
In that book. And he goes on to say that, yes, there must be what he calls the raw stuff, the basic building blocks, the material, that, for instance, if you're going to lead, you would have to have, if we're talking about interpersonal leadership, in that sense, then interpersonal skills, interpersonal intelligence, as Dr. Howard Gardner would call
right.
it. But coming back to, so he's saying that the raw building blocks need to be there, but they can differ from different types and situations. So a military leader, or even actually a pilot in a plane who has to make quick decisions,
is a leader.
Is a leader, but he has to, he's got the lives of hundreds of people, at his disposal, so to speak. So if he decided he wanted to commit suicide and just dive the plane, he could. So what we're talking about is, when you assess people, do they have that right temperament, for example? A job like a pilot or a military leader could be very stressful,
right?
Especially in what we call the heat of the battle, right?
Mm.
So tolerance to stress has a genetic component to
right.
it. So that would be just maybe one example. Intellectual, we've already talked about, IQ. But then there's the other side of the coin, the EQ. And, I might have said this before, that IQ can get you the job, but EQ will get you promotion and moving up the ladder.
Right.
And so the social intelligence, the interpersonal intelligence, getting on well with people would be very, very important.
Mm.
But of course, it comes back to, again, if I'm a scientific leader, a thought leader in that sense, and maybe most of the time I'm just peering down a microscope and I'm not dealing with people, then my leadership is looking for scientific breakthrough, for example. And
Stephen Hawking's of the world.
Yeah, Stephen Hawking's. Mm. And when we're talking about people, for instance, if we come into the political arena, you got people like Bill Clinton.
Mandela.
Mandela. And even when Bill Clinton was president, his vice president, Al Gore. Now, when you look at their two personalities, they're actually poles apart.
Right.
And that brings in that whole question of charisma, you know. And that's a magic sort of word that probably we would find hard to discuss on this program.
And I guess when you talk about leadership as well, you know, and we were having this chat that it depends on what you define as a leader, because you could be a leader at home, you could be a leader, you know, as a mother, you could be a leader in your community, and but of course in this context we're talking about the business sense, and as you rightly said, like in terms of EQ, how that's important, and maybe the ability to adapt in different situations is also in a way a trait of leadership.
Yes, definitely. I think they find the most successful leaders are those who are open, flexible, willing to listen. You know, they say great leaders would listen more than they speak. That there's this lovely expression that I like to use, that listen to motivate, because there's nothing more demotivating if you've got a great idea and you go to the boss and the boss says, sorry, too busy, don't have time, put it in writing and all that sort of stuff. And then your enthusiasm just sort of melts away.
Right.
So open, flexible, a good listener would be some of those factors.
And I guess another thing that we always get on this show, especially entrepreneurs, right? Now, the government very keen to promote entrepreneurship here. But again, can anyone become an entrepreneur?
Well, it's a bit like, can anybody become a leader? And not everybody wants to be a leader. Not everybody is out. But then it comes back to maybe commercial leadership, but as you're saying, a parent, you might be very good in the home, you know, with your kids. But coming back to entrepreneurship, I think there are certain traits that might be required, such as risk taking, and probably again that stress factor might come in. But you know, creativity and innovativeness or imaginativeness, because the nature of the word entrepreneur is someone who's going in and doing something and producing something new, ideas, products, and so on. But they may or may not always work. So I think one of those traits would be willing to learn from failure. And, you know, so you get knocked down, you pick the ball up, and you run with it again. And so many entrepreneurs have gone through lots of failures, but they come bouncing back. And it reminds me of that lovely quote from the neuro-linguistic programming, you know, NLP, where you say, there's no such thing as failure, only
feedback.
That's right. So, I mean, I think that means, yes, I made a mistake. I learned from it. I'll move on. But I've got the feedback, and I won't make the mistake again. So I think there is that drive and passion that sort of feeds that. So I would think if you don't believe in the product or the service, it would be very difficult to persevere and be a successful entrepreneur. So I think it comes back to what it is you are.
Yeah, and you've also seen
selling or
you've
making.
Also heard this terminology being bandied about, intrapreneur, where you strive, you do really well within an organization, and you do think like an entrepreneur, but you're working for an organization.
Yeah. And I think that's important. And somehow that word seems to have gone out of fashion. And I think it should come back in.
And because entrepreneur seems to be a lot more sexier.
Yeah, somehow, right. Because, you know, large organizations can breed the intrapreneur as long as the climate and the culture of the organization is there.
And we'll continue with our nature versus nurture discussion. I'm here with Dr. Peter Shepherd, Brain Dynamics Global in Racy Game, BFM 89.9. It's a Racy Game. This is Frida Liu and Dr. Peter Shepherd from Brain Dynamics Global here with me for our Personality Matters series. Our topic today, leadership and entrepreneurship, are they born or made? Now, you've listed out some traits essential for leaders and entrepreneurs, and they are more natural or inborn. How about nurture or upbringing? And culture, you know, how important are these factors?
Yeah, that's a very important point, because actually we are a product of both.
Yeah.
And, you know, there used to be this expression, nature versus nurture. But what I like, I saw it in the title of a book and immediately seized upon it, Nature Via Nurture.
Ah.
And so it says that I could have a particular innate trait, but if nurture doesn't bring it out, doesn't expose it, it may never really get developed. And there is this, you know, idea that we're born with millions of genes, but if we don't use them, they actually disappear, they die, you know. And so that if you are nurturing people very young, then you can sort of bring out those qualities. And often you'll see that the traits of the, you know, the entrepreneur or the leader can actually be detected even in kindergarten.
Mm.
You can see, you know,
the little tyrant.
Yeah, the little tyrant. And there's studies that have shown that a lot of the naughty boys, and perhaps girls as well, right, at school, turn out actually to be very successful entrepreneurs. That, you know, they've got that persistence, that stubbornness, that mind of their own, if you will.
And they don't stick to norms.
Well, that's it. Mm. And then that brings in the whole cultural part. So if you're not sticking to cultural norms, then you may be, you know, upsetting a lot of people.
And I guess also, like with the work you do, sometimes parents try to, I guess they try to expose their children to as many things as possible, but they have their own filters and try to mold their children into a particular area when there is no interest. And sometimes that sort of, is that good? Is that bad?
Yeah, I mean, that can be a difficulty because I think we talked about that in the first session where you might, you know, your father or your mother wants you to become something like a lawyer or an
engineer.
Something
they didn't become.
And they didn't want to. They may have gone through the studies and then discovered afterwards, but I'm not cut out for this.
Mm.
And they go move into another area. So I think when we're talking about culture, and then style comes in, you could be successful in one culture, like, you know, a highly individualistic culture like America or Australia, but you could in a softer, gentler, more sensitive type of culture, you might be like that proverbial bull in a china shop.
Right. So there are some culture specific styles that make a leader successful in one culture, and then a disaster in another.
It could be. So I think there it means cultural sensitivity. And if we're now talking about moving into a more rapidly globalizing world, then we've got to look for styles of flexibility where a person can be comfortable in any culture.
Mm.
You know, so the so-called global leader does need to have what my wife calls cultural literacy and a sensitivity that... when in Rome, you know, is the old expression, do as the Romans do. So if you're in Japan, your style of behavior that's acceptable would be possibly quite different than if you were in, well, can I use the stereotype, California.
Right. And I think that's one of the clear advantages in Malaysia. I don't know if we realize that we are actually very adaptable culturally.
Yes. That's what I love about Malaysia is that multiculturalism, and everybody is respectful of, you know, the different
slight nuances.
Nuances, whether it be food or dress or behavior, but much more open and accepting. Generally, of course, there'll always be some who not. Yeah, that's right. Very true.
All right. And next week we're going to do a whole brain assessment in recruiting and selection. So that's going to be our discussion next week. I've been having a chat with Dr. Peter Shepherd from Brain Dynamics Global. Tomorrow's Race Your Game, Farida Hamid from Wow Experience, back to continue a series on the language of power for women. And this time is choosing new words that are assertive yet polite. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.